I want you to give it up for the Harmony Brothers.
At the biggest show.
Hey, you all. Welcome back to the Sister Brunch Podcast. This isn't exactly season 7, except that it is, but it's a bonus because one of our very own team members has a feature film in a very, very, very important film festival. And this all happened as we got started with the season. So it's really exciting. And we decided we have to have her on the show. So it's kind of a bonus. Got like, we'll think of it as like 7.5 or something like that. By the way, I am Fanshan Cox. I am the co-creator and host of the Sister Brunch Podcast. And we are here with the fabulous Charlie T. Savage.
Hey, how are you?
I'm wonderful, and I'm glad to have you. All right, I'm going to do a little bit on your bio just to make sure I do it justice, but then we're going to dive in because I really want to talk about this film because it blew me away. I could have guessed that you were so talented, but seeing it is, I'm so excited that I get to sit and talk to you about it. So a little bit about Charlie. She is not only our season 7 associate producer, along with Ashanti Groves, but she is also a Navy veteran. She's from New Orleans, born and raised in New Orleans, and also an award-winning writer, director, and producer whose work continues to establish her as a rising voice in film and TV. And her latest feature film, Voices the Musical, is set to premiere at the 30th annual. That's so amazing, too. It's the 30th annual ABFF, y'all, American Black Film Festival. We are so excited for you. Welcome to Sister Brunch on this side of the camera.
On this side of the camera, which will probably never happen again.
How are you feeling about it?
Nervous. My back is wet, but don't tell anybody.
I love the back is wet thing. I love it. I've been trying to get the team on camera all season, and they refuse. And so I'm very glad that in the end you had to be here. So we are going to do it a little bit differently and not focus too much on our regular questions because I really want to dive into this incredible film. So tell us the journey of, you said this is not your first feature. Actually, I should say, Charlie is both a co-writer on this and a producer on it. So let's talk about the writing of it first.
Okay.
How did that start?
So Voices is basically the biography of every series creator. That's how it started. It's basically where a creator finds themselves at a crossroads of seizing an opportunity or letting it walk away. And that's why Sam Buckner III and myself, who's my amazing writing partner, we sat down and we wrote this script in about a month.
That's incredible. Go back a little bit more. Yes. How did the two of you meet and how did you start writing together?
So we met at a mixer in 22, and he has been an amazing part of my life ever since. He is very coming of age storyteller and I'm very thriller, murder, murder, kill, kill.
Yes, you are.
So putting our skills together, our superpowers, we come up with some very engaging pieces. He's the lubby-dubby, I'm the serious side, and it's a good blend. And it's good working with someone like him because we trust each other. Okay. We split the script down the middle. We don't have to second guess. And it makes it so much easier when you have someone you can trust.
Amazing. What is your working relationship like? How do you do it? Do you do pages and he does pages?
Or? So when it's a film, usually we split it up into segments, 8 segments. So he'll take 1, 2, 3, and 4. I'll take the back end. Or we'll go one by one, split it up. Yeah.
Okay. And so you did this in a month. I just can't believe that.
Yes.
And then so you've got the script all along the way when you were writing it. Did you already decide that you were going to shoot it? Did you have the director in
mind? About halfway through, we were like, we got to shoot this.
Yes.
We got to shoot this. We got to help people understand like that journey and that moment of you got to take this. And this is exactly what
that's
did.
That's what I love about it. It's like, that is what the movie is about.
Right.
And for better and worse, the decisions you make in order to be able to become successful, but that the most important thing is to like step out and do things. Let's tell our audience what the film is about.
So it's a period piece. It's set in 1960s, 1967.
Amazing.
And we redid an entire hotel room.
You sure did.
Oh my goodness. It was so
Which is
work.
Brilliant too. It all takes place. There's like one car scene.
It's a car scene. And then we go to a theater basically where they're going to perform.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Yeah. But so smart because you cut down on costs, right?
Yes. So much, which we can talk about in the financials, right?
Yes.
Yes. So what is it about? It's a 1967 period piece about a bellhop who becomes the assistant to a rising duo, singing duo. And unfortunately they overdose. And then he has to make a decision. Should I take an opportunity or should I let it walk away?
Mm.
And he makes some choices and it gets a little dark.
Gets a couple of accomplices.
And
makes some hard decisions.
Yes.
It is also so, oh my gosh, so many things on that. Because this is connected to the writing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a musical.
Let me tell you about this musical.
Yes.
I don't even like musicals, or I didn't like musicals.
Oh my
but
goodness.
Then I had to watch a bunch of musicals.
Yes.
I do like musicals. Let me rephrase. First of all, I love my musical.
Musical. Yes, you've made a brilliant one.
But like Dreamgirls, it wasn't on the top of my list. I love the creativity of it all. I did not come up with the idea of it being a musical.
Okay.
Sam called me in the wee hours of the morning and he said, it is about a singing duo. We have friends that can sing. Let's make it a musical. And I immediately hung up on him because what are you talking about? So I give him all the credit. He was like, I said, if you can make it work, we can do it.
Oh my gosh.
I was not convinced until we got into the studio and we listened to these people sing and their voices.
Oh my goodness.
Literally their voices. I was like, oh my, you were right.
So good.
I hate having to tell him he's right, but he was right.
So what about in writing that piece of it, when you're writing a musical, when you get to the place, first of all, I just have to commend you on how seamless it is. You know how like some musicals you're like, why are you singing all of a sudden? But the others are like, they really integrated the music in it, and you did. It made complete sense.
Yes.
When they started each time. And is it three songs total?
It's nine original songs.
It's nine?
Nine original songs.
Look at how seamless that must be, because honestly, I mean, I do. I remember moments where I'm like, oh, they're singing, but I had no idea. It was actually nine of them.
Nine.
So when you were writing, and he called you, he said it's going to be a musical, and then you're still writing the script, are you then going, oh, and they're going to sing here? And then
so
how does that happen?
We actually had finished a script already. The script was already done.
So
it was so easy for the songs to be, for us to find the perfect spots to put the music into. So
Brilliant.
If you are writing a musical, I would suggest finish writing your story
first.
Then put the music in.
Wow. Okay. So then how did you find out how to write lyrics?
I did not write those lyrics.
Who wrote those lyrics?
That was Sam. That was all
Sam.
Like I said, I was like, I don't want it to be a musical. I really fought. And then he was like, we can do this. And I was like, okay, write the music. We can get in the studio. We'll see how it turns out. And when I walked in there, he was right.
And let's name some of your cast, your director, just so that we're making sure we're saying their names.
Okay. So the director is Deontay Gray, and he's an amazing human being.
He is a
brilliant man. He's so talented. He's not local here. He's in Houston. So he came out. So
the director's amazing.
Yes.
I want to talk about the cinematography, the way you made this period piece, but also felt very contemporary in a lot of ways too. But also we've got Francis, Ezekiel, and Rael.
Yes, our leads.
Where did you find these incredible people?
Fell in my lap. It was godsend. So Francis and I have a longer relationship because he was in a play that I produced. Yes. And he's been amazing in everything
goodness.
That he touches.
Oh,
it turns to gold. He is definitely the Michael B. Jordan to my Ryan Coogler.
Yes.
And I tell him that all the time.
I love that.
Wherever I go, he's going, I promise. Ezekiel, he was also a part of Sideline Story, the project that the other two gentlemen were a part of.
Okay.
And then Rael is a close friend to Sam. So putting these three people in a room together was magic. I mean, the chemistry between the three of them, it was hard to direct them in any form because they already knew how to move. They knew it was very easy to get them to understand what we were going for. And they just meshed so well together.
I love you use the word magic because when I'm watching it, that my cerebral brain is like, none of this should be working. Like, this is weird and strange, and there's no way that this script goes with these people and these performances go with these songs, and it all is working. I kept thinking it feels pretty genius. I'm gonna say that it
Thank
feels
you.
Pretty genius. It's there's so much that I love. I'll say, and this is, you know, we'll get back to the mechanics, but also that we talk about this a lot, Charlie, and the podcast is something that is so important to us, is that Black stories are not siloed into, you know, that you've got to tell this exact same story, or you have to have these identifiable characters. And on one hand, I know every single last one of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, they're also very complex.
Yes.
It's unexpected of us. It is something that we should get a lot more opportunities to do. And you did it.
We went that way on the crossroads. Absolutely.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm so proud of this whole entire crew. You know,
we should be.
Yeah, we shot this in 9 days in Inglewood, up to no good.
Yeah.
We did it in 9 days. And I mean, everybody hustled. Every single person hustled.
Wow.
Our other producer, Brandon Lee Ward, he was there. Aya Washington, she was there. She's one of the producers. An executive producer, Skeeter Jones, who has a long history in Hollywood. He volunteered his services to help us out. I mean, I could not have imagined this melting pot of people, you know, and we pulled out something amazing in such a short period of time. And it's because we are surrounded by serious creators. You have to find a tribe. Hey, it's Charlie T. Savage, and I would love to see you over at Patreon. And you can also join us on Instagram at Sister Brunch Podcast. Anytime. We love you. Come over. It's about really knowing your boundaries, really understanding what your ultimate goals are, and understanding how you can be of service to someone else.
Mm.
Yes. And once you figure those three things out, you'll be able to move properly and find the people that you can mesh with.
Who also align with that,
exactly.
Right? Like that they also know that you start something and you finish it.
Mm-hmm.
You really get it done. It's going to be hard work. I can't even imagine. So did you say 9 days?
9 days.
9 days.
Yes.
There's so many challenges to this too. 9 days in a room. It's a musical. It's a period piece.
There was a very large car involved.
There's a large car.
And it was a 1965.
There are stunts.
We had a stunt coordinator.
This is what I'm saying. There's so much in this.
Yes. And this is an example. This is a snapshot for Hollywood to understand how many amazing people of color, creatives, that are out there.
Don't tell us you can't find somebody.
Right.
I don't want to hear not one more
They're
excuse.
There.
Absolutely.
They're there.
I think that's like, it's back to that idea of like, I'm watching it and I'm like, I can't believe all of these elements are coming together and it is working so beautifully. And that means every single person on there was it is brilliant and hardworking and deeply creative. Can we talk about the cinematography?
The shots. The shot
I'm
list.
Like, it is beautiful. Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to tell you, our DP and our DP is Damola.
Damola. Okay.
Oh my God.
Thank you, Damola. Thank you, Damola. Where have you been? Where are you like?
Oh, he's not hiding. He's a talented hiding. Man. Between him and Deontay, I'm going to tell you, tip if you are a producer for the producer side, make sure they have a shot list because those two creatives together in a room will eat up some time.
Hilarious.
It was worth it. You just gotta let them go.
Talk to us about a moment where that happened.
Every moment was where that happened. They would give a shot list and then we would find these creative shots. Let's try this. Don't blink and don't walk away because you will be surprised when you come back that nothing got done. But that's the fun of it all. And that's why you have to find a tribe because I, at a certain point, realized, like, if I just give him one extra shot, if we give him two extra shots here, he gets to do it his thing, but we still got what we needed. Understanding what your director needs and understanding that vision that your director of photography, your DP, is envisioning, seamless, those two together.
It. All right, let's do our financials.
Yes,
because I know you well enough to know that you just gonna get something done, no matter what. I'm so curious about the budget.
A lot of that money came out of pocket.
It did, didn't it?
A lot of relationships that we built over time. A lot of bartering. I can tell you what is on that screen is six-figure opportunity. Like that is a lot of money out of pocket. That's a lot of camera equipment. That's a lot of
yes
like, oh my goodness,
in kind or did y'all how yeah
what? So Skeeter Jones owns his own, shout out to We On Set, he has his own production house, so he was a very big part of this project. And then all of the bartering and relationship building that we made, it was easy to get this project done. But it does take money out of pocket when it comes to crafty and the surprises and the things that you didn't expect. So
you always talk have about to factor some of those things, anything that you want to can share?
Yeah, that was a surprise? Well, I can share a small surprise. The sweat. Like, who would have thought that you had to make sweat? I learned that.
Like, can you just put some water?
No,
because it needs to have some gel in it.
It's like glycerin or something like that.
Yes.
So it's the small surprises that we had to have trial and error. So that cost about $200 just trying to figure out what's going to stick and stay and show on camera.
I love that you said sweat because I noticed it and I was like, either those, they are sweaty and they couldn't afford it. They know they couldn't put the AC on. So I'm like, but I was also like, but it works because they're nervous and they're in this one room and they're hot.
Yeah.
And I think it really speaks to an example of the level of detail.
Yes.
At what point did you ever feel prior to the start of your production day, were you kind of like, okay, we've got enough money, let's go? Or were you like, we don't quite have enough money, we're going to start shooting this anyway?
We never had enough
money. You never had enough money.
No.
You were like, we're going to just start making
this. I mean, it's just like the movie. You have to just go after the opportunity.
Yes.
You see an opportunity, you know it's gold. You have to push. Sometimes you do have to put it on your credit card. And this sucks, especially in this economy. Sometimes you have to take a chance, you know, and like Miss Frizzle say, take a chance, get messy, right? You got to jump in and just do the thing. And I don't want anybody to ever put themselves in a financial strain, but know what you're worth and push.
Like there's so many things that work with this film. Okay, let's talk tech. So something you learned on this process, particularly on this movie.
Oh, it's really hard to say something I learned in this process.
Because you know everything. She's brilliant. This is a
brilliant. She's making stuff up. I don't know what she's talking about.
I'm not. She's really good.
I don't know, but I will. One thing that I've seen a lot of the episodes, and one thing I don't remember anyone sharing is my favorite shot, the martini shot.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about it. What's the martini?
The martini shot is the last shot of the night. And it is very, very important. I feel like I get a burst of energy when I hear my AD scream, is it the martini shot? Oh, yeah? Let's get this together.
The whole set is like, yes. All right,
finally. Right?
Yes.
Until it's not the martini shot. It's like, oh, we didn't get it. We weren't recording. Uh-huh. And now we got to talk. Because why would you do that? Yes.
I love it. The martini shot. I love it. All right. So we're going to get to our final question. But first, I would love to hear you say, because it makes me so happy and proud of you, to tell us, what is the film nominated for at ABFF?
So we were nominated for the U.S. Narrative Feature. And then most recently, we found out Sam and myself have been nominated for Best Screenwriter, Best Screenplay. We are going to be premiering it worldwide on May 29th in Miami Beach. Screening Room 2. And it is 155.
Spread the word. Tell your people to go. We want to just sell it out. We want everyone who's there to go support our Charlie, because we're so proud of her. And the way Charlie works on behalf of Sister Brunch, for free, by the way, this free labor, and we got to do something about this free labor, but what you do on Sister Brunch, people would have no idea that in the meantime, she is here creating something just fabulous. All right, let's get to our signature Sister Brunch question.
Yes.
Charlie, you and your younger self are sitting down to a Sister Brunch. What are you both eating and what are you both drinking? And what do you tell her?
I think the younger self would be eating a bag of crawfish in New Orleans on the porch. Yes. Right? So I'm with her on the porch and she's drinking a pineapple big shot.
What's that?
It's a cold drink from New Orleans. Ooh. It's a signature drink.
What's in there?
It's just pineapple soda. Oh.
That sounds amazing. Okay,
yes, it's just pineapple soda.
But it's
soda.
Called a big shot?
It's called a big shot.
Okay, I love that. Love that.
And then I would be a little bit more refined. So I'm eating pad thai, lobster pad thai.
Ooh,
and a glass of wine. I don't drink as much as I used to because I was a sailor, so I put the bottle down. but a glass of wine every now and again doesn't hurt. And I would tell her to network across. I'm telling you, network across. Don't chase the Ryan Cooglers and the Michael B. Jordans and the, you know, Nia DaCostas, because they've already been on this step. And I know that they would reach down and help as many as they could, but they're trying to get to the next step too. Give yourself a fighting chance and find a family, a team, a tribe that supports you so that you can support them and you'll get there a lot faster.
And I think that is a testament to everything this film is truly. Yes. You feel it when you watch it. You feel like this must have been a team of people that love each other and are lifting each other up and are making something really brilliant. Yes. We're so proud of you, Charlie. And
we're
just so glad to have you on the podcast to share this story.
Thank you. I can't wait for you to see what's next.
Thank you so much for watching another episode of the Sister Brunch podcast. Sister Brunch is brought to you by Trujillo Productions. We record right here in this beautiful studio in Hollywood at U Podcaster, Black-owned studio, amazing owners. Our producers for the season are our incredible associate producer, Charlie T. Savage, who you just learned about, and you should go see her movie if you're at ABFF this year. Ashanti Groves is our other associate producer. We've got our co-producers, Tasha Rogers and Samantha K. Henderson. We've got a new producer, Megan Fillmore, who you've met if you watched season four, my goodness, a while back. Sister Brunch is recorded on the unceded territory of the Tongva, the Chumash, the Gabrieleño, the Serrano, and the Keech peoples. And please make sure this is really important, actually. I'm learning from my mentors. Follow us on Apple Podcasts. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please follow us, like, subscribe. The important thing is follow and listen to it all the way through. Leave a comment, a review. Also on Spotify, on YouTube.
you should subscribe to the YouTube channel at youtube.com/TrueJalomedia. And thank you so much for watching. As Charlie said, join us over on Patreon, patreon.com/SisterBrunch, and we will talk to you very soon.